The following is an excerpt from the Science Podcast. To hear the whole show, visit www.sciencemag.org and click on Science Podcast.
Finally today, Daniel Strain of Science's news department is here to fill us in on some recent stories from our daily news site. So, Dan, first, an interesting development in prosthetics.
Yeah, we actually have a case of virtual limbs that can actually feel. That's a pretty big deal. Despite advances in prosthetics recently, very few of them have been able to actually get sort of tactile sensation. Very important for picking up fragile objects like pencils or eggs.
So what exactly was done here to make that advance?
Well, what we have here is monkeys that are actually moving a limb on a computer screen. What the researchers did that was very innovative is they actually planted two sets of electrodes in the monkeys' brains. One they put in the center of the brain that controls motor ability, and in the other they put in the region of the brain that actually feels sensations. What happened is that the monkeys could actually control the movement of a limb on the computer screen using the electrode planted in the motor center. They reached out this limb trying to grab a disc. Some of these discs were rough, some of them were smooth, and once the limb contacted them, the other electrode, the one planted in the part of the brain that senses tactile information, actually started to buzz in a certain way, and it gave off a specific signal. For the discs that were actually smooth, the electrodes started to have a very sort of fast pulse, a pulse with a high frequency. For the discs that were more rough, they had a slower pulse, and that way they were sort of able to signal the monkey which particular sort of sensation they were feeling. With a little bit of training and a little bit of rewards, they actually taught the monkeys to sort of associate those pulses with the right sensation and actually were able to have, in essence, a monkey that could feel these virtual objects.
Well, how long does it take a monkey to actually learn how to do this?
Well, I mean, the researcher says that it's actually almost no time at all. That's sort of the interesting advancement. The researcher said that it was about minutes to actually associate this virtual limb with being its own limb. It's actually tricked into thinking that the limb on the computer screen is actually its own.
That's pretty amazing. So how long before we see this in humans?
The researchers say it will be quite a few times, and they do point out that tactile sensation isn't the only sort of sensation that's important for sort of a limb like this. Your hand also feels heat. It also feels its position in space, and they haven't yet been able to figure out how to create those sensations.
So still a very complex system to figure out.
Indeed, yeah.
And next, a rather tantalizing connection between warfare and climate.
Yeah, this is a very, as you say, tantalizing study where the authors actually argue that the root of a great deal of human conflict actually lies in climate change.
Well, how on earth could you make such a distinction? I mean, it seems like there'd be so many factors to consider, you know, why zero in on climate?
Well, that's an interesting question, and researchers have often been focusing on this at an anecdotal level. They've seen indications of historical societies that fell into sort of tumult during cases where the weather is severe. And the authors point out the case of in the 17th century, Europe turned extremely frigid, and at the same time, the powers engaged in the very lengthy 30-year war. Almost at the exact same time, Manchurian soldiers actually stormed the Great Wall of China as well. So to actually take those stories and see how exactly they fit the data, the researchers actually looked at the past between about 1500 and 1800. They examined a number of different sort of variables that they thought might cause conflict. Some of these were, like I said, climate change, but then other ones addressed issues such as human height and the price of gold, sort of more obscure items. Interestingly enough, when they sort of looked at the statistics, it seemed very obvious that humans actually seem to engage in warfare and other sort of violent clashes right around the periods that the world saw extreme cold spells or extreme warm spells, just like those really cold winters in Europe.
Have they any idea why climate change would cause this sort of effect?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question, and they do sort of have some suspicions, and they think it largely comes down to agriculture. Obviously, when the climate sort of shifts severely, you get big losses in agriculture, and it's important to point out that at this time, There was a situation of subsistence farming, so people very much depended on the weather in order to sustain themselves. And so what happens is when you get these severe climate shifts, you basically run out of food. That can lead to a number of different factors, including the spread of diseases. And the authors note that when people tend to be miserable, they also tend to get very aggressive as well.
Interesting. Well, I understand this work is rather controversial.
Yeah, that's right. You know, a number of researchers sort of pointed out particular flaws in sort of the study. And one of the big ones that some folks noted was that it's only basically looking at historical data. There's not necessarily a good sense if the same sort of trends apply to the current era, especially since the agricultural system has changed quite a bit. So it's probably a bit premature to say that this is necessarily something that will affect us in the future with current climate change.
Well, that's a relief, given that the climate is changing. Finally, this week, in a nod to the Nobel Prize Awards, you have a review of the Ig Nobel Awards. Tell us about those.
Right. We've been hearing quite a bit about the Nobel Prizes, which are obviously very, very important advances and important awards. And we're turning to the Ig Nobels, which famously advertise that they first make you laugh and then make you think. So the Ig Nobel Committee has a very, very interesting spread this year. My particular favorite is the award for biology, which is actually a study that goes back quite a ways, but it's a study that looks at why certain species of Australian beetles preferentially mate with a distinct type of Australian beer bottle. And according to the analysis, it turns out that something about this particular type of beer bottle, the color, the shape of the bottle, some bumps along the edges, really, really attract this one particular species of beetle.
And I understand the medicine prize was rather interesting as well.
The medicine prize was actually a good one, and definitely does make you think. This prize looks at two different research teams. They're addressing how you make decisions on a full bladder, which is obviously something that we've all faced in our lives. And it actually can be a plus and a minus. So one of these studies looked at how having a full bladder affects your short-term memory. It actually turns out it's very, very bad for your short-term memory. Maybe you're only able to remember how uncomfortable you feel, but it's about equivalent to the losses of memory that you have after 24 hours of sleep deprivation. But the flip side of this is that some decision-making gets better when you have a full bladder. Researchers did this study where they offered participants $16 tomorrow or $35 in 35 days. So the question is, are people able to delay their gratification for a bigger reward? And while most people would just take these $16, people that really, really had to pee actually waited for the $35. Perhaps their sort of priorities were off.
I suppose those experiments must have been very interesting to conduct.
Right, and probably kind of uncomfortable for the subjects. Yeah.
Okay, Daniel, what other stories are you looking at for the news site?
Well, going from the Ig Nobels, we have quite a few stories about the Nobel Prizes that are awarded in physics, chemistry, and medicine, the real ones this time. We also have a new look at images coming in from the Dawn spacecraft investigating the asteroid Vesta. And in Science Insider, we look at a new report by scientists and policy analysts, which presses for the federal government to start engaging in geoengineering research. And finally, in our online chat, Science Live, we have a very fascinating discussion this week about something you talked about earlier in the podcast, which is the Anthropocene, the question of whether or not humans have changed the world so much that we're now entering into a new geologic era. So be sure to check out all of these stories and online discussions on our site.
Daniel Strain writes for the Science News Department. You can check out the latest science news and the policy blog, Science Insider, at news.sciencemag.org, where you can also join a live chat, Science Live, on the hottest science topics every Thursday at 3 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time.